heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, safe to say the IG report has landed with a thump of sorts. I think you would agree with me that the buildup of this report over the past year has been tremendous. We expect a lot of things to happen from this report. And the question is, are you happy with it? If you were looking forward to the report, whether it's pro or con, your feelings may or may not have changed once you've read through this 476-page report. You count them. That's right. Horowitz says, we did not find documentary or testimonial evidence that political bias or improper motivation influenced the FBI's decision to seek FISA authority on Carter Page. That is a page-turner, isn't it now? We did not find, is what I say to you there. How do you come up with that conclusion that there's no political bias or improper motivation? First of all, let's qualify up front here, people, what the IG report, what the intent of this report was always supposed to be. What Horowitz was charged to do here, and what an IG report always does. Now, if you balance that with listening to all of the talking heads and the pundits and the political people on both sides, you would think that this was going to be the Holy Grail. It was going to solve cancer or do something when Horowitz came down with it. And every time we've seen this time and again, the buildup of all of these. We've seen it with Mueller as well. You know, the thing that really rips me up is when you see things like this, and Horowitz is supposed to be a nonpartisan guy. We agree. That's what they say, right? We agree with that. But do you really think he is nonpartisan? Hard to say, huh? I mean, it's the same thing with Mueller, wasn't it? Anytime somebody in the future says to me, with somebody in Washington, it says, you know, this is a stand-up guy, very, very nonpartisan, and he's going to come right down the middle. Don't worry about a thing. You know, I don't think there's anybody left on, certainly in Washington, that would fall to that description. I think that's a lot of rubbish when they say that. I don't think we should say that up front here, people. I mean, that's what they promised with Mueller. And I never understood just look at the whole setup with Mueller. It was always going to be what it was. I mean, and here we waited all this time. We wasted a couple of years of nonsense. For what? Everybody should have known. The thing is, we're not stepping back and we're not looking at this stuff intelligently. We're getting caught in the moment. The drip, 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 drip. That's what it really is. That's coming down from all the stuff that you're all listening to and watching and reading every day. And I wonder at the end of the day, are any minds really changed from any of this? Because this goes very, very deep, people. It goes very deep. And this whole thing about, what happened here with the Trump campaign in 2016 is a monumental undertaking that we'll be talking about for 100, 200 years. You'll be talking about this moment. It's amazing, really. So this report, this IG report, has 17 errors or omissions, is what they're saying. Or let me break that down for you. Or let's call them major screw-ups, right, from the FBI. People, the IG report was always just going to be a blueprint for what happens next. The IG report, and although a lot of people get this wrong and they want to know why Horowitz didn't do this and didn't do that and this guy failed on this and that, and he may have failed with his conclusions. He probably shouldn't have had those conclusions if he was going to put them in the way that he did, because you would argue with that evidence whether you could come to that same conclusion or not, based on the findings. Now, because you see, that's red meat. That's red meat for the Chuck Schumers and company who are going to take that red meat. And they're already doing it. And I'll prove it today to you. They're already running with that. But the IG report does not indict. It's not an indictment of what occurred and those people involved. So you gotta know that up front. It doesn't recommend prosecution specifically. It doesn't interpret the law. That's all the attorney general who does that. That's William Barr. That's why they're so uptight with Barr these days. And of course, he's been making some pretty straightforward comments, which I'll get into that as well with you today. But now this falls on Bill Barr and John Durham, the Connecticut attorney who is a prosecutor who is also in. This is a totally different thing with Durham now. This is a criminal charge over here. And they've already said that. They've already came out when they flew around the world and said, well, there's some criminal problems here. Now, the problem is middle America doesn't believe any of this anymore because of the drip, 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 drip that's been happening over the past several years now. Well, since, well, just before Trump took office. And, everything that's happened has led us to this moment of insanity where we find ourselves right now. It's hard to believe some of this stuff, really. And I don't think anybody's really believing it or buying it at this moment anyways. I think if you polled America right now and asked them, they would probably say that their expectations of the John Durham report when that comes out is very slim and they don't expect there'll be much there. I'm guessing at that, but I bet you that's fairly accurate because of that drip, 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 drip. But I have to tell you, if you look at the IG report and its intent and what it is supposed to be and what it's supposed to do, it could entirely be a different outcome, people. And if you look at the reputation of John Durham and what he's about, you would also say that. So William Barr believes the Trump campaign was spied on. He says that, and that the FBI has acted in bad faith when opening up this investigation into the president's 2016 campaign. Let me read you what he said exactly. And I quote from William Barr, "The Inspector General's report now makes clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest," and that's even being polite, people, "on the thinnest of suspicions." Because had they done their homework now, really right there, there would be no thinnest of suspicions. So Barr's just being polite there. "On the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient," you think, "to justify the steps taken. In the rush to obtain and maintain FISA surveillance of Trump campaign associates, FBI officials misled the FISA court, omitted critical exculpatory facts from their filings, and suppressed or ignored information negating the reliability of their principal source." And he ended with, well, and "the malfeasance and misfeasance detailed in the IG report reflects a clear abuse of the FISA process." Now, we've known that. We've known that for some time. That's not a new revelation. We've been saying this right along. In fact, that report last year, Devin Nunes pointed that out, and he was ridiculed about that, you remember. So Barr now in the last couple of days is on NBC, and he says, and listen to this, this is a very striking comment. "Our nation was turned on its head for 3 years based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned by and hyped by an irresponsible press." I spoke to you a while back about this, you see. And remember I told you about the press versus the Democratic operatives, and we talked about who was leading, who was teaching who? Who's really in front of the class here? You see, are the Democrats taking their lessons from the press? Or is the press taking their lessons from the Democratic Party, the DNC, and all of the operatives there? And I told you what's happening here. A lot of people would debate this with me, but the Democrat operatives and the party itself are taking their instructions from the press. So Bill Barr is right when he says hyped by an irresponsible press. He's spot on. They're definitely irresponsible. You can put a whole lot more adjectives in there as well. But I've been pointing that out to you right along. You see, if the press did what they should do, if they did any part of their job properly, the Democrat Party and operatives would have nowhere to people. Where would they have to go? Who would listen to them anymore? They would be talking in a vacuum. Think about that a moment. So the next time you want to find fault with the Democrats, the socialists, the radicals, who can't help themselves, by the way. This is who they are. It's what they are. It's what they're looking at. You know, think about that a moment. And they're not really as the bad guys that you think they are. I don't think they can really help themselves. I think it's your press. That's the big story, I think, of this decade we're going to talk about down the road. The press. And that's who I hold responsible right here, people, which makes our job even harder here on this network to get the truth out. But Bill Barr nailed that right there by an irresponsible press. The media has gotten this thing entirely wrong from the beginning, people. Now the questions are this. I want to pose to you, and I'm going to pose to Michael Johnson in just a moment here. I wonder what the real reason for that is. And listen to this carefully here. Do you think it was because it was too difficult to figure out? You know, maybe their IQ wasn't high enough, maybe, you know, potentially. So a little too tough for them, right? Or do you, that's the first choice. The second choice is maybe they have another agenda. Maybe that's selection number two. And the third one is maybe you live in a fairy tale land and they're waiting for the perfect moment to unleash the truth onto the American public. Maybe it's the third one, you think, if you live in that fairy tale land, huh? Maybe they're just waiting for the right moment. They go, we were just kidding. We were just playing yo-yo with you for a couple, 3 years here, man. We wanted to see if you would go along with that. Here's the real truth. You think you might wake up one day and hear that? Don't bet on it, people. I think the big story of this whole generation is going to be the press. I really do. And no one really is saying that, but I'm telling you today, I told you last week as well, the same story. It's the press. It's that bad, people. It's that out of control. And that is who the Democrat Party take their instructions directly from, the press. If the press played it the other way, they would have nowhere to move. They would be in a corner, and they would have to come out with the truth here. I mean, and that's what I see exactly here. Let's get on with all of this today, people. Let's bring on Michael Johns. And you've heard Michael before on the platform. Love to have him on always. He is the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He's a former White House speechwriter and a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. And you've always dealt with a crooked press, Michael, even back in those days. But I don't imagine you ever thought it would be this bad. I can't imagine. Or did you ever think it would get this bad?
I think there's always been, from at least the very beginning of my political involvement, a left of center bias to the media. That's been a bias both of what they do report and a bias of omission of things they don't report. But in this particular case, this is a vastly more extreme violation of ethics because, you know, let me just summarize it all up front. I mean, this is what you need to know about Russia. There was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Russia did a few things in our election, but they were not monumental enough to really have swung even one vote, in my view. And the FISA warrant that was ultimately issued against Carter Page, a Trump advisor, was utterly unjustified and a violation of the very integrity of our judicial process. You know, there's no higher misdeed of a government than spying on its own citizens without cause. And that, of course, led through, as you pointed out, this three-year process of the Mueller investigation, speculation of what would be in the Mueller investigation, speculation of whether Trump would be able to survive it, complete distraction from all the issues that really matter to the country. You know, things like our border security, things like immigration reform, things like trade agreements that need to be restructured, things like growing the economy, things like infrastructure, things like trying to do something about healthcare costs and inflation and access. All of these are the crucial issues confronting the country. These are the things that drove 63 million Americans to the polls to elect Donald Trump. And instead, we had both Washington, D.C., and, as you point out, the media absorbed in this day to day. And while, you know, I can break it all down in granular detail, you can't escape the broader conclusion that it was all ultimately about nothing but a politically driven motivation and narrative designed to undermine Trump's credibility of his extraordinary 2016 political victory and to derail him and diminish his political influence and credibility as the duly elected president of the United States.
Well, all of this was right out of the playbook for the rules for radicals. Sincerely, I say that. I looked at them again this morning just to refresh my memory on how sick it is. And you could take three or four of those rules and play them right into this. They play it perfectly, actually, at the way they played it. So while they had their hand in the cookie jar back there, Michael, and what they were doing, they pulled this charade off on America, pointing the other way, which is what they do so well. It's like, look over there, look over there. And they're robbing the bank over here. Isn't that what they do? Really, they do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been that's Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals that you're referencing. It's been a while since I've actually gone through them. But aren't I correct that one of those rules was to accuse your opponent of precisely what you're doing?
100%.
I mean, I believe that was I believe that was one of Alinsky's guidance to his followers. And when you think about Russia and you think about Ukraine, the common denominator in both of these issues is there actually is evidence of the Clinton campaign's collaboration and collusion with Russia. That was the basis of the whole Steele dossier, right?
That's it.
So the allegation that the sole investigation should be into that. It is not a stretch of the imagination to state that Russia's ultimate accomplishment here was to have derailed the attention of the American people for 3 years into questioning its democratic outcome and Trump's victory. And then when you look at the current impeachment proceedings on Ukraine, which is also utterly baseless, again, where was the real quid pro quo with Ukraine? Was it in Donald Trump having a conversation asking President Zelensky to be serious and cooperate with the U.S. on corruption matters, which is entirely reasonable, even warranted, even one could go further and say an obligation of the president? Or was it with Joe Biden stating that we would not release our foreign aid until the prosecutor investing the company who had employed Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, on its board at that time, was fired, which actually did happen. So so we're not releasing the aid until the prosecutor investigating the company my son's affiliated with and potentially my son is fired. That is a real quid pro quo.
Well, it is.
I think anybody who looks at anybody with even a little bit of walking around knowledge, you don't need to be some Washington insider to understand that.
They flip the tables is what they do, Michael. They're so good at flipping the whole program and then making you like they're accusing you for something they've done. And they're so good at it. Let me ask you something here. Why is I don't know that you know this, but this comes up time and time again. Now, we've just mentioned Alinsky's Rules for Radicals several times. We just talked about what they're doing, how they're doing it. You mentioned Russia. You mentioned Ukraine. You got Biden. You got all these things. They've done it right along. I mean, it's a whole playbook out here. And then you have to wonder, why is the left that just that much smarter than the right? Or are they better at the game playing? Or is the right just not up on all of this? I mean, why is it they are so good that they can pull this off seamlessly and get away with it, and the right doesn't know what to do? I you have a conclusion on that?
I do have a conclusion, and I say this as a lifetime person who identifies as a mainstream conservative.
Amen. Amen.
And part of a conservative movement that I've worked within, both within Washington, D.C. and on the grassroots level. It's, a defining aspect of my life. I view those views as very mainstream and very much at the heart of the American founding. But the ultimate answer to your question is yes, yes, and yes. Are they smarter? Yeah, I think they are smarter. Do they work harder? Yes, they do. Are they more serious? In a lot of ways, they are. We spent a lot of time in our conservative movement denouncing what I would describe as the current American reality. Mm-hmm. We're furious that they've taken over the media. We're furious that they've taken over academia. We're furious that at the very inner workings of our Department of Justice and FBI, the highest law enforcement agencies in the country, and once among the most respected in the world, have been infiltrated by them. Ultimately, is that their fault or is it our oversight? Mm-hmm. I mean, we, you know, ultimately, to be fair and to ever turn this around in a positive way, we have to say these things have happened on our watch too. We stood by and did nothing as they took over these institutions. We failed to collaborate and take them seriously and adequately fund and support our movement and stand by each other. So I think by every metric of political activism that you would use of success, yes, I think the left has been more intelligent, they've been more serious, and they have been ultimately more effective. And that's not to say there's more of them than there are of us. I don't believe that's true. I think the country continues to be basically center-right in its perspective, or centrist. It rejects their outlook, but it has not done enough to stop them as they have pursued this very reckless and aggressive campaign of taking over many of America's core institutions.
Where the risk is really, it's a real risk, and where the stakes are very, very high. It's no longer a game anymore. Now, we're talking serious business here. And a lot of this business happened on the previous administration watch. And you can go back to other administrations before that. I'd say the last three or four administrations, I think, were challenged with this entrenched, bureaucratic, whatever you want to call it, deep state political atmosphere that has corrupted Washington. I think it's been ever since the Reagan days. And after that, we've turned a bad page here, one after the next. But I think what's really happened now, though, Michael, is the media component. I think what's put them on overdrive and what's really driven this thing to where we're at right now is the media component. Because, again, had they not been as enforceful, if they weren't calling the shots in the way they are, and if they didn't, you know, really mandate all of this nonsense, because as you say, they disavow information, they just ignore information, they omit information, or they just outright lie to you. I mean, call it what you want. They use every trick in the book to pull the truth away from the American public. To me, this is right now the story of the century. We'll be talking about this decades from now, how bad the Fourth Estate was and how bad off the path the press went from any sort of truth. And I don't know what that means, people. We're living in a warped view here of societal shift that this media has created. And I got to tell you what, patriots are standing up taller. They recognize this. You see this all the time out there. And you hear Michael just a moment ago. He's saying that as well. I got to tell you what. All right. So we're aligned to have a very good talk here today, people. Stay right there. I'll be back with more Michael Johns in a moment here.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio. On our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. I think what a lot of people are wondering is, okay, was the inspector just doing his job or is he biased? And what's the answer to that?
Well, firstly, if you go back and look at the extensive commentary I have made about the Russia investigation all the way back to 2016, I never put much credence in an IG report, because I think that you would have to understand what an IG report actually is and what it isn't to do that. And I think it was a great disservice in a lot of ways for individuals, some of whom I think have generally a correct macro outlook on what's transpired here, to have raised expectations about what this report would conclude. And the main reason for that are, I think, two things. One is the limitations that are imposed on an IG. It's not like a special counsel. Mm-hmm. It's essentially like an auditor. So they can come in and ask questions. They can identify missteps in procedure. And, you know, Horowitz found, I think, 17, what he called significant failures, inaccuracies, or omissions. Mm-hmm. But he does not have the extraordinary powers that a special counsel has. He's not able to look, for instance, at anything outside of the Department of Justice or FBI. So he can't look at this so-called intelligence community and its role in it. He can't look at foreign countries and their role in it. He can't look at a guy like Michael Steele, who's a British citizen. And if you're not able to look, if you have a lens on it so narrow mm-hmm. that you can't look at those components of this entire process, you're inevitably not going to see the whole story.
To think about what you just said with that narrow lens a moment there, and to think that he still found, with all those omissions and guilt and all those elements, and with that narrow lens, because you're right, the IG report is not an enforcement document. It's not, it's never that. And this is where the media is guilty of hyping it up, Michael. This is why I'm telling you, this is why social media, it's why Middle America, and it's why so many people are up in arms today with the IG, with Horowitz, which is why I asked you that loaded question coming into the segment. But the IG report is to state verbatim what happened. The facts only within that little circle, as you say, that narrow lens. It addresses the timeline, the process, exactly that and nothing more. And that's right. Not going to work.
So that's the first part of it. That's the first, that's, you know, so there were a lot of people on our side who I would say understand correctly that this was politically motivated and that there was nothing at the core of it, who said that, but who also put disproportionate emphasis on this. And I think in large part, frankly, because some of these voices have not worked in federal government. They don't really understand processes, procedures. They repeat the last thing that someone told them, whatever the issues are.
That's a good point.
It's unfortunate that some of the leading voices out there are individuals who I think have the best intentions and macro outlook, but get lost in some of the, get lost in the woods once they start actually getting into this. So the way to look at the IG report is, number one, like I just said, is that the parameters are very limited. Mm-hmm. To expect that this was going to be more than it really was an error from the beginning, and it's one of the reasons I didn't put a lot of focus on it. Number two is that to really jump to the conclusions that many of us have held throughout all of this, that this wasn't just an issue of a few administrative errors or missteps, but was a calculated, politically motivated undertaking designed to stop Trump's candidacy and undermine his presidency. You know, when you go through and you look at these 17 omissions and factual inaccuracies, is it not a little bit intriguing that all of them seem to break against the president of the United States?
The case. Why didn't Horowitz say what you just, think of what you just said, how logical that is. Not one of them broke the other way. Why didn't Horowitz at least admit that? Back to the bias point.
I think in fairness to him, because it's not the functional role of an inspector general.
Well, then why is it his functional role to say what he said? I'm just wondering, why is it his functional role to say then that there was no bias? Shut the hell up then.
Well, because here's the answer, and this is what's kind of absurd about the process, is that question may actually have been presented. So he might go to James Comey and say, was there any bias in the process? And James Comey goes, no. So he's sort of reporting factually what he found.
Yeah, but he put, that's a good point.
But this idea
that
the very people This idea that the very people that were involved in perpetuating, launching and then perpetuating this gross miscarriage of justice would be forthcoming and saying, yeah, you know, in retrospect, it was politically motivated. It's all there. It's all, I mean, did you not read the page and stroke text messages, the insurance policy? We're not, we're going to stop him. I mean, it's all transparently there, abundantly there, because of the good fortune that we do have FOIA requests and can obtain this information. But, you know, it's not the functional role of an IG to kind of come to a conclusion or report anything, but what is interview and assessment facts report. So I have always felt from the very beginning that the ultimate source of justice in this will be John Durham, who has prosecutorial authorities, who's not constrained to just looking at the DOJ and FBI, but can look at the totality of the of this entire process, including the intelligence, other intelligence agencies, including foreign countries and foreign sources, all of which had a core role in all this. Because you know, this can get very complicated, but if you kind of break it down and you say, what was the basis for launching a FISA surveillance warrant on an American citizen who was affiliated with a campaign? What was the basis on having, you know, we talk about Watergate breaking into the Democratic National Committee's headquarters. People see that and they can understand that. They're like, wow, that's like spying on the other campaign. This is no different. This was the Obama administration and its political functionaries going out and obtaining a surveillance warrant on a campaign they were actively trying to defeat. You need to look at it. That's precisely what happened here. And then you take the next step and say, well, on what basis? You know, there's a lot of flaws in our FISA process to begin with. But if you said, what was the basis on which a FISA court would actually authorize this surveillance? It really came down to the fact that you had this foreign country, Australia, that said, hey, this guy, George Papadopoulos, who was not even a central figure in the campaign, had received a suggestion from Russia that it could possibly assist in releasing some damaging information to Hillary Clinton. That's like, you know, I heard from my neighbor or heard from somebody they saw at the store that, you know, I mean, it was the tangible evidence that should have been there to actually get a FISA warrant was not provided. And then when you go into the core of the 17 errors that Horowitz found, almost every one of them was designed to omit information that contradicted that thesis and to embellish information that supported it. And I thought the most egregious example of that was the fact that they had, which has now come out subsequently, that you know, Carter Page was a Central Intelligence Agency source, and they had obtained an email from the CIA basically stating that should have been included in the FISA application, which would, you know, in some respects contradict this thesis that he was working with the foreign government, that literally changed the phraseology. And Attorney General Barr referenced this, you know, that they actually altered this email to say that, which said he was a source, to say he was not a source. Now, that is an act of criminality. And that's an act that I think when you get down to the Durbin investigation is not just an issue of a finding in a report, but it's something that needs to be prosecuted. And there's abundant other examples in those 17, which when you put them all together, clearly, in my judgment, demonstrate what the IG did not state, which was that this was a politically motivated undertaking from the very beginning, and it was sustained throughout by insincerity, lack of adherence to judicial protocols, all designed to undermine the president's candidacy and then the president's actual administration.
Don't you think this is even quite a bit different than the Watergate you referenced moments ago because of the massive cover-up? That one we found out about, but this massive continual cover-up that you just mentioned with all of those omissions, but even more than that, with the media component, which we addressed up front here, this is a massive cover-up like we've never seen before, and then they flip the switch and turn the game around and accuse the other side of doing exactly what they're doing. We haven't seen this before, this game, have we?
Well, yeah, the distinction is kind of twofold. One is that you have here some individuals, a good number of them, at very high levels within our Department of Justice that we rely on to act objectively and fairly, who did not act objectively and fairly. And then, you know, secondly, people who lived through Watergate easily understood the idea that you had these few guys, they were all kind of affiliated with Nixon's reelection campaign, who, you know, physically broke into a building and were engaged in trying to steal documents, which is easy to understand, versus this situation where we had, you know, the FBI and DOJ go to this FISA court, which the American people don't know a whole lot about, to obtain this warrant based on faulty information, to monitor this fairly obscure advisor within the Trump campaign, all designed ultimately to get the special counsel on the Mueller investigation launched, $30 million investigation filled with, you know, well over nearly a couple dozen highly partisan attorneys, including some directly affiliated with Hillary Clinton historically.
And they still couldn't get them. They still couldn't get them.
Yeah, and ultimately, even though the conclusion was designed to be spun, the conclusion adamantly was that there was no collusion between this president's campaign and Russia. And that was the entire premise, entire thing. Now, if you say what really should have happened here, like if you were really acting objectively, I think when the information about Papadopoulos came forward and actually was presented to the FBI, I'm not saying that nothing should have been done. It would have been entirely reasonable to have an FBI field office reach out to Papadopoulos and seek his cooperation. Since the issue here was ultimately Russia's purported attempt to engage in our election process, but they didn't do that. You also would have, I think, if you were truly concerned about Russia's involvement in our election, forewarned Donald Trump that there were these concerns. But no one made an attempt to do that either.
They never did. They never did. That's a big point right there, because he was kept in the dark through all of it, as they continue to try to chip away here. You know, I asked you coming into this segment here, and I wanted to conclude about Horowitz, Michael, with you a moment here, about was he doing his job or bias. I want to point out to everybody now, to listeners, that Horowitz has been there since 2012, I believe, 2012, I'm pretty certain. And he was appointed by President Barack Obama, and is a key nominee appointed. And in order to be appointed or nominated to a key position of this magnitude, you had to be a loyalist, a partisan. He would have never gotten the job, I don't believe for a moment, back in 2012, had he not been what he was. So to me, when we talk about the bias and he comes out with this comment, and like you say, and I respect the fact of what you said, well, somebody might have said to him, well, no, there was no bias there, and maybe that's the fact he puts forth. But here's the problem with that story and the kink in it, Michael, is that it has come across now to the mainstream and to the public that Horowitz, his opinion is that there's no bias there, that he believes there was no political bias and nothing really was done wrong other than these 17 omissions and the failures that need to be cleaned up. But overall, it wasn't partisan and it wasn't a bias intent where they tried to throw him under the bus. Now, I, for one, don't believe this at this point, having done the math and looking at all the background of Obama and Horowitz and where he comes from and the fact that everybody's been selling him as another guardian angel to the American public, and the media has done that. Well, now Chuck Schumer comes out and he says, and I'll tell you what Chuck says. Okay, the report by the justice, IG, you know, who Republicans have repeatedly praised. Now, this is Chuck's tweet, by the way, Michael, okay? And listen to this. Who Republicans have repeatedly praised. And this is what they do. They praise all these cats. It's part of the bureaucracy up there. And he goes on to say.
I didn't.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But most everyone else was doing it. And there were several on our platform who did not as well. But there were some who did. But it says here, the Republicans who have repeatedly praised shows there is no basis for President Trump's absurd claim that the investigation into his campaign was a hoax or a conspiracy against him. So here's the problem with this whole thing that really rubs me. And I can buy and accept part of what you say, but I don't accept the fact that Horowitz is totally innocent here in the way he has spun it, which has really pissed off middle America, although they don't understand. I grant you this. Most people don't understand the role of the IG. They don't understand what he could or could not do. We've broken it down for you here today, so don't be ignorant, people, and tell me you don't know now or you don't understand. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. You now know what he can and can't do with the IG's restricted. Michael's pointed it out as well. But the bigger point is now, I tell you, it's 2012. He was an appointee. It's very partisan. I believe he is. He goes out of his way, and then it's taken as that. And the problem with that, then you get, see, the damage here, Michael, is then people like Chuck Schumer, the political operatives from the DNC and the radicals take it, and they spin it to what they want, and then the media takes it. And as we've already pointed out, they run wild with it and continue to sugarcoat the entire operation with the American public. And do you see the problem of what I'm speaking about, sir?
Absolutely. I mean, I could also sort of buy into, you know, I don't know Horowitz, but, you know, the fact that he was an Obama appointee, the report itself, I think even within the constraints that he was operating within, could have been more objective and to the point.
That's right.
Could have even deferred and said, you know, it's not the
exactly.
functional role of the IG to
exactly.
to interpret the motives of the individuals involved. That's, you know, to be left to John Durham and the prosecutor. But, you know, it doesn't say anything along those lines, which is one of the reasons. And you have to be ultimately both reassured and persuaded by this, that you have an attorney general whose words are so important and have to be carefully sort of monitored and presented and, you know, and ultimately factually accurate. To have Attorney General William Barr come out and for Barr to say, hey, look, this Department of Justice, this FBI under James Comey falsified documents and was engaged in the phrase he used, a gross abuse, quote, gross abuse, unquote, by the FBI. Those are really harsh words that you would not ever hear from an attorney general unless
exactly.
they were demonstrably factually accurate. Because while someone like Adam Schiff can afford to sort of be wrong about these things and the world kind of moves on, no one goes back to Adam Schiff and say, hey, you told us, if you don't, you know, in case anybody's forgotten, you had undeniable evidence that you could not reveal at the time that the Trump campaign had colluded with Russia. Right? No one's gone back to him and said, hey, what about that statement? Do you have any idea what a disservice to the country that was? And the fact that ultimately, you know, Michael Steele obtained all this information. Michael Steele, the British former intelligence agency, obtained this information from Russia that was presented over here. That was the real, as I said, the real collusion, which is why I thought it was intriguing that you raised the rules for radicals, because ultimately
yeah.
the real story here was, you know, Russia did influence some things. They diverted our entire country. They helped. They were a co-conspirator in diverting the entire country's attention from the matters, from
well,
the things that really matter
yeah.
throughout all of this.
Well, they succeeded in a very, very big way. I mean, if their attempt was to confuse the hell out of us and get our play, in fact, it was said to me the other day, Russia's main goal was to just get our political parties to fight and to get, in other words, to get Americans at Americans' throats. Well, I got to tell you what, people, they hit a grand slam here, grand slam. You give them an A++++. They achieved all of that. But you know what? It's our dumb politicians, the ignorant people who allow this to happen time and time and time again. Okay, friends, here's what we'll do now. First of all, you're listening there to the voice of Michael Johns, and just remind all of you, the amazing people and the talent at America Out Loud and our home there, AmericaOutLoud.com, our platform. We're doing some heavy lifting back here. You know, I pointed out the media up front there in the earlier segment. You heard Michael talk about it as well. But it's important, you all, and I want to remind you time to time to get behind the platform. Share the stories. There's great bloggers, columnists, big international voices on there. Share the podcast. Share the talk radio components. Let people know the heavy lifting that we're doing here at America Out Loud. That's our goal here, is to be a force for truth. And in fact, you know, I say, if you go to the platform again, at AmericaOutLoud.com, we say right at the top, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? And I know Michael would agree with that statement. And I think it's an important statement to remind you as we get into the end of the year here and we get ready for a new year. 2020 is going to be a big year ahead here. So next, what I want to do with Michael is talk to you. Last, want to wrap up Durham, what we can expect ahead. Because that's going to be, as I think he just pointed out, the moment here. We've run a little late into this, but we've been on a roll here. We'll take a real fast, quick pause here. Be back in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Joined back here with Michael Johns, friends, and we're speaking about John Durham. Now, kind of went through the whole Horowitz thing and where we're at and why the expectations were taken out of context, the media's role in all of this, and you see the statement I make of who takes orders from who. Pretty big comment to put out there, but I do believe it's accurate. And so I want to ask you now with Durham, what we really see ahead here. We're probably talking, I mean, there's really no way to know because he's going to take the time he needs. But it's safe to say, Michael, this is going to happen before the November 2020. They're saying possibly spring or summer. That could mean anything. That could mean fall even. There's no way to know. But it's safe to say it's probably going to happen before November 2020. And if it does, and it should, how much does this really impact the 2020 election, do you think? Could this be the linchpin in the whole 2020 election thing and turn it on its head?
It's always been my belief, and I think it's been reaffirmed along the line, that the real wrongdoing on this part was by the Hillary Clinton campaign. It's sort of individuals and agents that were operating on behalf of it, like Michael Steele, and certain components of our Department of Justice and FBI who had an indisputable political agenda and went to great lengths to perpetuate all those things. And many of those initiatives were not just unethical, they were criminal. So now that is the functional role of Durham. And just like Mueller, this is not now going to take 2 years to put together a report. He has prosecutorial authority to the extent he finds, you know, probable cause to bring charges. He can, you know, he can present those to a grand jury. He can and should prosecute individuals involved in this. And it's important, kind of on a big picture sense, to realize we talk about the United States of America correctly being the greatest country in the world. We talk about our system of government being the best in the world. When we talk about these things, you know, there's a bunch of footnotes attached to them. And one of those footnotes, in my view, has always been that our judicial processes, particularly at a high level like this, function without any political bias, that they are prudent, calculating, not prone to overstatement or over prosecution or, you know, excessive targeting or unnecessary targeting of individuals. That's kind of the core foundation on which our system lies and rests. Because if you don't have that, you can have all of the other great freedoms associated with our Bill of Rights, but you've got ultimately a corrupt system at its core. Our system at its core has not historically been corrupt. Our system at its core, in my judgment, even now is not corrupt to its core, but it has these corrupt elements. And this absolutely needs to be corrected with the utmost urgency, because this is not simply an administration of justice as it relates to a president and individuals who clearly operated against him to undermine him. This gets to the very core of definition of what kind of country is this. Because, you know, in much of the world, many countries I've been in, this sort of behavior that we're describing here is routine, commonplace. Mm-hmm. No one pushes back on it. There's individuals all over the world who are in jail only because of their political beliefs or their political statements or the fact that they're perceived to threaten, you know, an individual dictator or autocrat. That's a sad, sad story. But it all started with the corruption of a judicial process, the likes of which we're discussing right here. And it is absolutely essential to American rule of law, mm-hmm. American democracy and freedoms that these be corrected.
All right. Now, listen, I love what you just said. I love these last couple of moments when you were speaking about America and you spoke about the difference of us and our court system, Michael, and the world and why we're different or special or unique or all of that. And I think most people would stand up and applaud that. On the flip side of that, I think here's the problem that I present back to you. Now, I love the fact you're an optimist, and I know you're a patriot and you love this country, and I think you know that I am as well, and certainly every listener knows that I am all of that. But I would say to you, this optimist I'm a little frail at the moment on optimism, I would say, or I'm a little skeptical, or maybe a little cautious, or maybe I just want an insurance policy. Call it whatever the hell you want, but I would be representative, quite frankly, of most of America. And let me tell you why I say that. And I don't entirely agree that it's as small as you just presented or you thought that we could just get over this. And I'm going to tell you why. And here's exactly why. And then you tell me what you think if I'm wrong here. And I'll tell you what I think here is that the corruption is very deep and it's very severe. It's not mild. And I think we're at a moment of reckoning in America. And I think the damage went right through up to the tip top and right over the top of Barack Hussein Obama. He is absolutely at the center of all of this. It was the DNC, was the Democratic Party, the DNC and the committee itself. It was Hillary Clinton and the campaign. It was all, they were in a mode to make sure she got in there. They really never thought Trump would have had a shot in hell to get in, let alone come even nearly close to it. They thought this was a slam dunk, and they thought they had it all. Now, when you compare that to the fact that he weaponized the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and any other acronym you can, the FISA courts and everything.
The IRS.
IRS, brother, this has been going on for some time. So now we look at that. Now let's go further, buddy. Now you take a look at all of that. That's serious weaponization we're speaking about here. Now that's not casual. And you take that and you combine that with the crookedness of our courts and how political our courts that are now legislating from the bench and all the circuit courts that continue to go against this president and his agenda like you would think that they won the nomination and they were creating policy, for God's sakes. I have never seen we have a record historical amount of setbacks for this administration when it comes to the courts. No president yes. in the history of this country, Michael Johnson, has ever had to deal with what Donald Trump has had to deal with.
Right. I don't hear anything that you've said that I disagree with. I agree with all of it. I believe
that's a dangerous recipe, though, Michael. That's dangerous.
There's a combustible component to this. In fact, it's already blown up in some ways. I'm not trying to diminish that. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I endorsed Donald Trump June 16th, 2015, day one. No, and I know I knew a good number of these 16 candidates on a personal level, is that I believed he was uniquely positioned to uproot these problems. And I still think that that is his charge, and he cannot underestimate it. And it starts with the FBI and Department of Justice. If you don't have objectivity within those departments, you do not have a free society. And so that is crucially important. The only caveat that I would make to what you've correctly said is that we have personnel and then we have process. And one of the benefits of the discussion we're having is that we're at least able to say these individuals, and it might be a long, long list of individuals, did not adhere to process. We still have process largely on our side. Your freedom and the foundations of it collapse when you have both personnel and process that become misaligned from justice. So this, ongoing investigation by John Durbin, with the support of the Attorney General, is crucially important because it's going to be designed to hold individuals accountable to processes that ultimately are correct but were not followed.
Well, the proof in the pudding now to what you just say there, Michael, and the last comment on this is going to be, this is all going to lean heavily now on John Durham. He's going to be the key to restore what we just talked about. And would you agree with that? Because if he doesn't, if he strikes
out... On this matter, I mean, you made another very important point that I completely agree with, and that is that, this is one component of the swamp. The swamp is much bigger than just this incident, as all-consuming as this whole thing has been, and that is that we do have activist judges in courts around this country, including in federal courts and in the Supreme Court itself, who are developing their rulings and their findings based on their personal opinions and outlooks. And that's kind of at the core of the Ukraine investigation, too. I mean, if you listened, as I assume you did, carefully to the testimony that was provided on all of this, one of the things I noticed was that every one of these purported experts, State Department officials, NSC officials that came forward ultimately seemed most irritated by the fact that the President of the United States had the audacity to involve himself in U.S.-Ukraine policy. There were the complaints of the separate channel. So this deep state, this bureaucracy that we've talked about is real. They look, and this goes all the way back to Reagan. They refer to the President of the United States as an intern. They believe presidents come and go, but the bureaucracy endures. This president's challenge is he has got to bring the bureaucracy and the administration of our federal government under the control of the people, adhering to our constitutions and aligned with the political mandate of American voters.
Yeah, my friends, that is exactly it. You hear right there the voice of Michael Johns. I got to tell you what, we have maxed out and squeezed out every second or minute of this broadcast today with you. You have to know that. But wow, did we cover some ground here. You hear Michael's last couple of thoughts there. He's right with what he says. And I hope he's further right. I pray he is. God Almighty that Durham comes out the way it needs to, back to the processes and what happens next, people. I remind you all the time, it's a pivotal moment of the Republic. It's not a casual thing, and I'm not saying that to hype it up or to get a rise out of you. But if you just do the math of everything we discussed with you, just go back and re-listen to this one when you're able to after it's off of talk radio. And it does go to podcast. Listen to it again and see all the things we talked about here. There were many major points made here. There's so much more I wanted to talk to Michael about. I wanted to talk to him about the USMCA and the timing of that with the impeachment stuff and the rest of it going on and where that all fits in. Very interesting. We'll catch it again with him, of course. Always love and enjoy having him on and bringing him to you guys out there. Again, you have thoughts, something interesting to say? Let me give you the email address. I think you know what it is, but liberty@americaoutloud.com. That's just for you and I only, so don't go giving that out to everybody now. liberty@americaoutloud.com is how you can check in here as well. Again, our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can get those. We have hundreds of thousands of folks who connect in through those apps, or hear us on iHeartRadio or any of the networks. Friends, thank you as always for being here and being present, being alert, being ready to save the Republic, and being part of this journey. It's time to get involved and get loud.